The Mix Online team has released a new issue. The issue is centered around visualizations, and we've asked two of the gentlemen from the team to explain what's going on. So go ahead and introduce yourselves.
Hi, my name is Hans Hoogley. I work for the Platform Evangelism team, and within that, the Innovative Web team.
All right.
I'm on the same team. My name's Nishant Kotari, and Hans, to give you some context, Hans is the token developer in this interview, and I'm the token designer.
All right.
Even though we both sort of crossed the chasm.
Okay. Well, I think you kind of have to, right?
Yeah.
I mean, just a smaller team especially, you have to do both.
That's the territory. Yeah.
So what's going on? This is an issue on visualization. You released a project along with a couple articles, right?
Yeah. So what our team does is we actually pick scenarios that we're interested in exploring. Mm-hmm. And every 2 to 3 months, we do a release around it. And we call that release an issue because what we do is we release some code around it. So we don't do fully finished products, but we don't do demos either. We do stuff that works.
Working prototypes. Right?
Working prototypes, yeah. Exactly.
You might be able to reuse.
Exactly.
Yeah, sure.
We put it up on CodePlex so you can download it. We also come out with a couple of articles on the topic. We usually have someone who's pretty well known in the space, you know, an influencer, as we like to call them, who can talk very credibly about the topic. So for
the gravitas.
The gravitas, yes.
Please, bring it. Go ahead.
So for this, it was John Odell who actually talked about just information and data visualization at a high level. And then Joshua Allen, who's on our team too, we write an article ourselves about some of our learnings from the project. So really our issue this time around is on information visualization and data visualization. And the project is called Descry. But maybe I'm getting ahead of
myself. No, that's fine. Go ahead. Tell us.
So it's called Project Descry, which we've heard feedback that it's not a cool name. So we feel a little hurt
about
it.
No, I really like it.
Because our other project, the first one that came out, was called Oomph, and people think it's so cool.
I like Descry better.
I love you.
Well, it feels like an action, and I know about, you know, scrying into...
So what's interesting is we just came up with the name in 30 seconds. It was actually Thomas Lewis, our manager, who came up with the name. What's cool is Descry is actually the root of the word describe.
Oh, okay.
So it's really to look at something really carefully and decipher something.
Perfect.
Which is very appropriate for our project. So what we did was we picked infographics as something that we'd want to focus on there. And really quickly, I mean, there are a few ways you can do the data visualization that we see, right? One way is what, you know, Google Charts does or IBM ManyEyes does, where you provide a data set and there are a set of predefined graphs and charts charts that has its place. Then there's stuff that you see on Smashing Magazine, these really artistic physics-centric visualizations with things flying around the screen. They're beautiful, they look really beautiful, and that has its place. We sort of picked the niche infographic space because it's something that we think is really emerging. If you flip through magazines these days, like Good or Wired, they have like 10 or 12 infographics. And what we gravitated towards was, well, if information visualization is all about communicating information, what infographics, when they're designed well, what they do really well is they talk to anybody, right? So when you take a problem like obesity, where everyone knows we're getting fatter as a nation, there are many ways to visualize that, right? You can just throw a bunch of dots on the screen, but I don't know if that tells the common person anything. So if you spend some time thinking about, well, how would you communicate this data to an audience that sort of gets it, but you really want to drive the point home.
Right.
So
driving the point with even, like, they don't even need prior knowledge. Like, if you see BMI and it's some number, if you don't know anything about that, it's not going to translate.
So we actually attacked the obesity one because that was one scenario that we're really interested in. The visualization is actually called the obesity epidemic.
Okay. Let's bring it up.
So I have it fired up. Whoops, that's the wrong one.
That
was a preview. A teaser.
Yeah.
So when you fire it up, this is what you see.
Okay.
And the approach we took on this visualization is, you know, well, let me back up a bit. So there's a study out there that the Center for Disease Control did, the CDC did, where over a span of 20 years, they went to a random sample of the country and they asked them a set of questions. It's a really deep study, a deep survey. And they measured all sorts of things, like how much these people smoke, how much they drink, you know, what their weight fluctuation was, what their BMI changes over time. So obesity is one of the things you can get from this data set. Now, the traditional way to do it is just to map these things on a U.S.
Sure.
map,
right?
And then you
show a number on a state.
And put a number on a state. And what we really wanted to communicate is, as a nation, we're just getting obese. So we decided what to do was that the most visual, literal metaphor you could use is T-shirt sizes, right?
Sure.
It's just something that we intuitively know.
Right.
So what's interesting is, take 1987, which is the first part of the data set. What I've selected here is, you know, all the states that have an obesity prevalence of 10 to 14%. So a simpler way to put that is, 1 out of 10 people in these states are obese, right? They have a BMI of over 30.
Right.
Now you see that's about half the country,
right?
And the rest of them roughly fall below that. So less than one person, or about one out of 10 people back in the early 80s or mid 80s was obese. Now, let's keep this selected and let's start going up the years. So you're seeing the T-shirts turn red and get bigger because the obesity rate is obviously growing. But what's interesting is when you get out a decade later, it's gone, right? The selections are gone because
they all got bigger.
The rate jumped up, right?
I got it. I thought maybe there was a hump and people got fit. But
exactly.
No.
And
no.
then you sort of do the same thing. And
people
are getting bigger and bigger, right? Where when you finally get to 2007, literally when you choose these ranges, there just isn't a state.
There's nothing
out there. And these are just people who are obese. This doesn't even count the people who are overweight, which now if you want to drill down into the data, per year we actually show you the trend for obese, normal, as well as overweight. So for us, what was interesting was, communicating this question, the answer to this question, and letting people drill down into it a little bit. But on the technological side, what was interesting, so we used Silverlight for all of these, and because we just thought there were features of Silverlight that really showcased what we wanted to communicate. So Link, which you probably know about, we use Link.
I've heard of that.
It's an object querying language. We use Link tremendously to filter the data, to query the data on the fly,
generate the
T's and stuff. Yep. But the more interesting part is, the only part of this visualization that's Silverlight is everything within this box, right?
Okay.
Everything above it and below it, even this, is just HTML and CSS.
Right.
It was super easy for us when we actually used Silverlight to dig into the DOM using, just because Silverlight exposes itself to the HTML DOM really well. And there are times where you want to use HTML, there are appropriate uses for HTML and CSS, and we thought this was one of those places where we could really show the synergy between the two.
Sure. So using the JavaScript bridge, that's...
Exactly. But, to give you an idea, the JavaScript bridge is literally 4 or 5 lines of code, right? It's a very simple bridge. It isn't a library or something like that. We actually worked with a guy by the name of Jeff Perrys, who lives up in Portland. Or is it down?
Down.
Down in Portland? I thought so.
Down here.
Well, he actually just came out with a book called Silverlight 2 Animation, which is just a phenomenal book. In terms of explaining some of these concepts, and he actually worked with me in this particular one, and Joshua Allen did some crazy data munging and wrote some insane link on the fly to sort of do these transforms.
Okay,
and stuff.
That's what I was wondering about, the animation of the shirts, right? Because it's almost like generated, right, on the fly, like you said, for the data. So
we're not using procedural animation. We're actually using storyboards, which is how the Blend and Silverlight teams have sort of. Suggested.
Very toolable.
It's very toolable. So we've reused a bunch of storyboards. So it's and again, this code will be out, so you'll be able to drill into it. And just to put the disclaimer out there, this is not the way to do it. It's one way that we discovered how to build something like this.
Okay, very cool. So the next one is what you've been previewing a couple times.
It
is.
Do
you want to start with the poster?
Yeah, let's actually start with that. So,
fast music.
Well, the problem statement really was, how do you visualize the web design process?
Mm-hmm.
And what's interesting about the web design process is everyone has their own, right?
Sure.
So really for us, when we went out and tried to figure out how do you actually communicate, who are the people involved in the web design process and how do they, and what are the things they do? We got all sorts of responses to those kind of questions. And as a designer myself, and I've worked in, you know, various environments doing this kind of stuff, I know there's no one straight answer.
Right.
So that brings us to something that, you know, Tufte talks about, something he calls a super graphic,
mm-hmm.
where you just put all the data out there. So we worked with this company called X-Plane, and we came up with this poster called A Website Named Desire. You might have heard of it.
Yeah.
But it visualizes the web design process. Now, it's not prescriptive in that it doesn't say, this is how it is. But
yeah.
What's interesting is it's a great conversation piece, and a lot of people can connect to it because they find themselves in this poster at some part of the process.
Uh-huh.
So when Hans and I said, hey, wouldn't it be cool to, for people who don't have the poster or who haven't had the chance to look at the physical poster, which is really high fidelity and
right.
it's a very detailed poster, how do we actually send this up the wire, right?
Mm-hmm.
How do we communicate it over the internet?
Okay.
Which is sort of where, you know, we do have something on Silverlight that lets us do just that, Deep Zoom.
Definitely.
So right. So the basic crux of this visualization was how do you annotate an infographic such that it gives people context about what they're seeing without being intrusive, and
mm-hmm.
how you actually do it over the wire.
Okay.
Right?
So as opposed to, we had the poster up there, and if you wanted to, you could have walked me through every step.
Exactly.
And this is me without a guide, right?
Exactly. So
okay.
If you load this up, you see a bunch of markers fall into place, and we have a slider that lets you see just those markers. And when you hover over them, you can learn different parts of the poster.
Okay.
At the same time, you can, you know, go into one of the markers and you can actually follow the process.
Oh, very cool. Yeah, see, I haven't had the poster explained to me like this. This is neat.
Right, because what we usually hear is, this is cool, can I get a copy? And
yeah.
then the next question you get after 10 minutes and someone stares at it is, what is this?
Yeah, I noticed this little circle graph, right?
Right.
The red and white thing that you start following.
It's one of those things that's a good art piece. It's great
mm-hmm.
for the wall.
Yeah.
But we put a lot of thought into communicating the nuances of just the web design process.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hogging airtime here. I actually want Hans to talk about how we implemented this, because before this, I think the only thing we've seen was Hard Rock Cafe was someone who pushed Deep Zoom really hard, right?
Right.
Hard Rock Cafe
right.
memorabilia. But in their case, you can zoom into a region and it pops up a dialogue and tells you what's generally in that region.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, what we've done is created literally a harness on top of that that lets you put XAML on top of DeepZoom and knows how to deal with the scaling issues and so on and so forth. So
that's right.
I would love for you to actually talk about
So yes, we liked DeepZoom for its rich scaling capabilities of high fidelity images,
mm-hmm.
but at the same time we weren't able to have markers that sat on top of that image
right.
that allowed people to investigate it and interact with it. So we needed to add another layer on top of that,
mm-hmm.
and we ended up going to the Silverlight team to basically find out what is the algorithm they're using for scaling.
Okay.
And it's called the power loss scaling technique, and
okay.
so we created an algorithm that kind of emulated that and allows us to position objects precisely on a deep zoom image on
okay.
top of. And so we also employ an animation technique that allows us to animate those as the deep zoom image is scaling or translating.
Mm-hmm.
And so as a result, it looks as though the images are part of the deep zoom image, but really they are just sitting on top. And notice that the size of the objects themselves is changing slightly as we zoom in. But at the same time, we wanted to kind of maintain their size no matter how large this or how large the image or how far we zoom into the image.
Yeah.
And
I haven't seen like this level of interactivity with the deep zoom application. Yeah,
it was a challenge. Yeah, it was fun. At the same time, a challenge. So, for example, when I want to, if you click on, let's say, click on C, for example, what I had to do is I had to explicitly position that marker on mm-hmm. the screen. Now, that's the easy part. The trickier part is getting the deep zoom object to move to that specific position. And so it took a little bit of understanding of the viewports and the viewports size, I believe it was, uh-huh. to calculate that. Anyway, in the end, it came out, we were very happy with the results. And so
it was one of those situations where Hans would go, "I'm done," and he'd come to my office, and I go, "No, you're not." And then I'd be like, "Nope, that's not what I intended." And so I was hoping that we would pull it off, uh-huh. and we did. We pulled it off exactly. We got to the point where I wanted us to get to, and now I hope you don't hate me.
No. It was.
So there was a lot of.
I enjoyed being.
Oh, kind of the circular process.
It was very, very,
very circular. Like, yes.
Go back and fix it.
Okay. Yeah.
Very cool. So I mean, you did all that hard work, and being a good citizen, you're going to share the code, right?
Yes.
Okay. Otherwise, I wouldn't have you on the show. It's like, get out of here.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it sounds awesome. I'd love to see, like, how you actually did that.
We believe in open sourcing this stuff. Mm-hmm. I think we do. We don't pick projects or we don't do stuff that we can't just hand away all the code. In fact, on this one, for the mm-hmm. first time, and this is going to be scary, I'm handing away all the design assets, too. So you can get all my PSDs, my Illustrator files, my Firework files. Uh-huh. With all the slices intact, I haven't fixed the layers, so you can see how messy I am in those files too. Okay. But hopefully, again, it's something that helps people piece together alongside the code how we build something like this. And I mean, aside from all the marketing stuff that you hear, mm-hmm. There's a lot of iteration that goes on, and the workflow just sort of emerges based on the kind of people on the team and what your skill sets and stuff are.
Sure.
So, I mean, there were parts where we actually used what I would say was the marketing workflow mm-hmm. That, you know, you hear Expression and the Silverlight folks talk about. But there are big chunks of it where we reverted to the basics, right? Go to a PSD, really get the concept down, get into a room, mm-hmm. hammer it out on a whiteboard, part, come back together after a few hours, try a few things. So it's very iterative. So I think you'll sort of get that from the PSDs too, because you'll see the delta between what was in the PSDs and what we actually put out.
Okay.
So we're boldly going to put that
raw,
out. It's as raw as it gets. Yeah, I mean there are a couple more visualizations that we won't get into here, mm-hmm. but we did a visualization I can quickly click on it, around inaugural speeches where we use a tree map.
Yeah, there you go.
So what's interesting about this one is you can use a regular expression if you want, or just a comma-separated list of words to see what presidents said about a certain concept. For mm-hmm. instance, economic crisis. Clearly, Obama seems to bubble to the top. And then you can actually read the entire speech.
Oh, wow.
And again, this is HTML, and this is one of those things what we try to do is we try to use the most appropriate technology for what we want to accomplish, and which is great. I mean, we were able to pull all these speeches in and just make it a part of the harness of the application. Mm-hmm.
And it's totally seamless. I mean, that's what I really like about it, right?
Exactly.
If you're saying, again, we have Silverlight app and HTML, but
exactly.
this is one page, and you know, and we're in full screen here, but this is in the browser, so.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The last one we have is we call the social timeline. Mm-hmm. And this actually steps away from the infographics.
Okay.
This I would call more of a traditional online visualization.
Sure.
Technically, this was probably the most challenging one for us. Hans could probably go into great depth about
uh-huh. it. But we'll probably avoid that.
We could
for this
avoid
episode,
that.
Yes.
I think this one will be very interesting to Silverlight developers, because we had to solve challenges of how do you take just mounds of data mm-hmm. and place it in a finite space, but still allow folks to explore that data across various axes.
Right.
Right? So at this point, what you don't see, what Hans spent a lot of time on, was creating virtualized controls that seamlessly load stuff behind the scenes.
Which is something we shouldn't notice, right? That's the beauty
of it. Right, that's the whole point of doing it.
You can scroll that fast.
Yeah.
Okay.
So this visualization is just about seeing your friend feed time in a timeline mm-hmm. view. And you can do all sorts of things, such as filter out for your friends and filter out services. and you know, look at people who put comments on, even search for terms. So it's a pretty powerful visualization, and of course it was probably the one we spent most time on, and was probably the most challenging one.
It's the most complex.
Yeah.
Okay. So all of this is available at visitmix.com?
So the URL I would start at is visitmix.com/lab/descry.
Okay.
DESCRY. And our CodePlex site is
codeplex.com/descry.
Descry.
Okay. Very cool.
And yeah, you'll be able to download all the source for everything that we have here, as well as all the design assets.
And we tried to comment it as well as possible.
Oh, but, nice. You know,
yeah.
That's an added bonus.
I mean,
okay.
You know, time is always a factor in doing this stuff.
So any preview on the next issue? Or is that we have to wait for the next video?
It's top secret.
Okay. I thought it was top secret, but I thought maybe if I sprung that on you.
We have some stuff in the works that we are extremely excited about.
Yeah.
I'm almost going to tell you, but I'm not going to.
So which this is issue number 3 or 4?
This is issue number 3.
Number 3, yes.
Okay, so you're really just starting to build some momentum on Mix Online now,
yeah,
right?
We've been together, what, as a team for 7 months?
Yes,
we launched 3 products, I would say, which is, I think, pretty cool.
Right.
I've never been on a team that's shipped this fast.
We've got, what, five awesome. People on our team? Including Thomas?
Including our manager.
Yeah.
Who does a lot of coding. Kidding.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, congratulations, guys.
Thank you.
And we'll definitely keep an eye on the Mix Online site.
Cool.
Thanks, Adam.